It is my privilege, my honor, and I am excited to be here tonight. Yes. Tonight. After that song, it is tonight. Do you know why I'm excited? Because I get to tell you how awesome you are. I am serious. I get to tell you, actually, I get to remind you how awesome you are. Right? So this is the second part of a five-part talk with Kristen about prosperity through the lenses of the five principles, right? And last week, Kristen talked about God is, all right? And she mentioned that if we hold back, if we limit ourselves, we aren't connecting with the source as fully as we can, right? She also mentioned the term PACT, P-A-C-T, which stood for, the P stands for pause and pray. The A stands for awareness of abundance and appreciation. The C stands for clarity on intent to give and receive. And the T stands for tithe, on track with source. And so we can also use that this week when we talk about our divinity, right? I mentioned how awesome you are. It's because you are divine. Right? Now, this doesn't change. What changes is our awareness of our divinity. Right? So let's go back a couple thousand years when Jesus was hanging out with his buddies. Right? And Philip says, Jesus, show us the Father. And Jesus says, what? Dude, I've been hanging out with you for about 3 years. And you haven't seen the Father yet? See, don't you know I am the Father? My actions are the Father? What I say is the Father? And then Jesus says, verily, truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. So 2,000 years ago, our older brother was telling us that we were divine, right? Now, his apostles didn't have the advantage that we have of 2,000 years of watching or seeing Jesus. They were in the moment, right? Think back when you started your spiritual growth. Do you think you were able to see the Father or the divine source within somebody else? Probably not. And so, when we talk about divinity, our divinity is always there. It will never not be there. I can't say that enough. I may say that a couple times, but that's okay, right? Jesus said it for 3 years and hardly anybody got it. But so, a couple times isn't that bad. So, our divinity is always there. But it's our awareness of that divinity. And so how do we get there? We get there by what we're doing today, right? We're getting there by spiritual growth, right? And when we spiritually grow, we begin to understand better than we did yesterday, right? We begin to understand better than we did a week ago, right? And so all of us, I've got this belief that there are as many paths to God as there are hearts on the planet. You agree with me?
Yeah. Yes.
And so we are all individual expressions of God, right? And over the years, I've come to find out that the anxiety that I have felt around my spiritual growth is God doing this, right? God pushing on me to express God through me as me, right? And so that's what our divinity is doing. It's trying to come out. And sometimes we let it, and sometimes we don't, and sometimes we hold on to it, and sometimes we don't believe it, and sometimes, and sometimes, and sometimes. Isn't that our problem, right? It's like I wake up in the morning, I have this divine idea, and by 6 o'clock in the morning, it's the dumbest thing by 6 o'clock in the evening, it's the dumbest thing I've ever thought of, right? Because the brain just starts to get into that, right? So that's our problem, is we deny our divinity, but we can't really deny our divinity. We can not think about it. We can put it in the closet. Well, we really can't put it in the closet. But metaphorically, we can put it in the closet, right? And so Charles Fillmore, one of Unity's co-founders, says this about spiritual growth. He says, step by step, thought by thought, spiritual emotion by spiritual emotion, eventually the transformation is complete. It does not come in a day, but every high impulse, every pure thought, every upward desire adds to the exhilaration and the gradual personification of the divine in humankind and the transformation of the human. Did we get that? Did you take that in? To me, that's one of the most positive statements that could ever be said. Because if you're sitting here in Unity, you know what the statement says. You've done some spiritual growth. You understand that there's something worth growing to and growing for and growing as. That's who we are, right? One of the things that happened to me about 10 days ago, I was standing in front of the most powerful waterfall in Europe. My wife and I had the privilege of going to Iceland for about a week and a half. And there's this waterfall called Dettifoss. I hope I get that right. I just want to tell you, my Icelandic and my divinity never merged when I was over there. Right, but and so I'm standing in front of this waterfall, and I want you to watch it for a few seconds. So I'm standing in front of this waterfall, like not from here to the bookstore. Right? And I'm standing there, and my first thought is, I am and I stopped. And I said, no, I am not insignificant. And then I thought of you guys, because I knew I was doing this talk today, right? It came to me. It didn't just come to me. God brought it forth in me. And the thought was that if I'm not insignificant, and God created this powerful waterfall, and I'm God, I'm divine, then the power within me is as much and as great as that waterfall, if not more. Right? So, we're gonna play the video again, but this time, if you wish, you can close your eyes and just feel it. Knowing that that power is within you, and that if you let it, you can feel it. How'd that feel? Yeah. Did you know you were that powerful? If you did, great. If you didn't, welcome to the club. Yeah, so Charles Fillmore brought forth the 12 powers. He didn't create them, but he brought them to our awareness. And I'd like to talk about two of those 12 powers. One is power, and Charles describes it as this. Power, the faculty that enables us to have authority over our emotions, feelings, inspirations, and thoughts. Power is the means of bringing forth divine ideas. And if you don't know, divine ideas are created within the divine mind or the source. And when we are in tune with that source, those ideas come flowing through us. when we let them. That's the key, isn't it? When we let them. Myrtle Fillmore has a wonderful book of letters, and it's entitled How to Let God Help You. Right? She's not telling us how to do the roles so God can help you. She's not saying how you go out and do God's work on your own. It's how to let God help you. Because that's when we get, I shouldn't say we, that's when I get all muddled up, is when I think I have to do the job. We had a assistant minister here many years ago, Susan Leonard, and she used to say that people would do the action first and pray for the results. She said that was backwards, and I agree with it, is that you pray first, then you go do the work, right? So we have to do the work like we're doing now, right? We have to let our divinity shine through this planet, to this planet. And we do that with a couple of powers. And like I said, one was the power of power, and the other is the power of understanding. And Charles says it's this: spiritual intelligence, it is the faculty by which we receive enlightenment and insight. It is our capability to gain, it is our capability to gain direct perceptions of truth, the ability to know, perceive, comprehend, and apprehend. So think of it. You've got all this power, like thousands and thousands of gallons of water falling over a cliff. And then you begin to understand how the waterfall came to be, right? And that's what we get to do, right? That's what we call spiritual intelligence. We get to understand that. And the cool thing is it's in every one of us. There's not one of us who has less than the other. There's not one of us who has more than the other. I can stand here with great humility and say, I'm great. And why can I do that? It's because I know each and every one of you is just as great as I am. That's the truth. It doesn't mean that I'm any better, I'm any less. It just means I'm great. So when you stand in front of a mirror tomorrow morning or next week or sometime, go, I'm great. God will love you for it. So what does all this have to do with prosperity? Prosperity comes directly from our divinity, right? When we have our thought processes and our emotions through our divinity, we begin to clear the way and begin to understand what true prosperity for us is, right? Charles Fillmore says this about prosperity. He says, prosperity is not the passion of things, but in the recognition of supply and in the knowledge of free and open access to an inexhaustible storehouse of all that is good or desirable. To me, that says we don't even have to think about what we want as prosperity, that it comes up just from our hearts, from our thoughts, from our emotions, right? Myrtle Fillmore, I'm going to do one more. Myrtle Fillmore says, true prosperity is not making money or putting out goods or developing property. It is determining what our souls require in order to cause them to unfold more of God. And then, how to harmonize their expression with the needs of our fellow human beings so that all are benefited and inspired to unfold and express more of their inner spiritual qualities. So this is really cool because it's two-folded. It's like getting a beautiful Christmas gift that you've always wanted. And then you got enough to share with everybody. Right? And so not only when we're in our divinity, which, by the way, is our spiritual responsibility. I know that's a four-letter word that some people don't want to hear, but when we do our spiritual responsibility, and all that really means is we be ourselves, that we express our divinity within us. Right? So the hard part for us is letting that happen, for understanding how to do that and how to really let it go. Right? Or maybe I should be talking to me. That's hard for me to do. But you get to share it with your brothers and sisters, right? Now, we all have different qualities and different talents. And, you know, sometimes I feel guilty that I'm not out protesting things that I disagree with or I agree with, right? But what I do is I pray for these. And so I began to understand that this is where I need to be to help the world, right? I don't have the energy of a 28-year-old to go out there and protest anymore. But I do have the knowledge and the ability and the wisdom to do it this way. And that's my responsibility to do this. So Eric Butterworth is a Unity minister from the 70s. And he wrote a book called Spiritual Economics. And he says this. He says, "You do not cause economic conditions, though we all share in a cumulative consciousness that is the cause. But if you give them reality by your negative thoughts, you become synchronized with an energy flow that has a swift and on your life as the light that bathes the room when you throw the switch. You do not make the light, but in a very real sense, it's become real in your experience by reason of your act of turning it on." So just want to take a survey here. How many find it a lot easier to let the negative thoughts flow than the positive thoughts? Yeah? So is that like turning on a light? You really don't believe in them, but you turn it on and now you're experiencing them, right? So this is what he's talking about, right? And our prosperity comes from the positive thoughts, right? Our negative thoughts hold back our prosperity. So this is what we're really talking about here. There's a lot of words to say this. Be yourself. Right? You are divine. You are God. You are the best on the planet. There is nobody better. There is nobody more powerful. Right? So I went to Iceland a couple weeks ago, right? And we were supposed to go on June 7th. And we got to the airport at 3:30 to catch our connecting flight. And the airline clerk told me that my passport was not valid enough. My passport was valid for 3 months. They wanted 6. So they didn't let us on the plane. So a couple hours later, our vacation was rearranged to August 9th. So August 9th arrives, and my wife and I go to the airport, and we check in, because we now have matching passports. My number ends in 49, and her number ends in 50. So anyways, so we have lunch, we sit down, I look at my phone, and I go, my wife says, "What's wrong?" I go, "I think they canceled our flight." And they did. So got on the airlines, and half an hour later, we're on a flight from another city, which everything worked out. I got there, as you saw in the video there. Everything was fine. But the fifth day, we did a self-driving tour where we rented a car and drove around the island. But the fifth day, we got a flat tire in the middle of nowhere. luckily we were able to drive into a hotel parking lot, and the woman was really wonderful, and everything worked out well. Until when we got to the airport, and our baggage was like an hour and a half late, and it's tired, and all that good stuff. But I tell you all that stuff because you know what? It didn't matter. It was the most awesome vacation I've ever taken in my life, right? And what happened with me is that after we got denied leaving the first time, the next 3 weeks was filled with fixing this injustice that happened to us. And nobody cared. Nobody cared. The airlines, the booking agent, the government, blah, 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 blah. Nobody cared. And I realized I had to stop. I had to stop because I was going to ruin my vacation, because my intent was to get our money back. My intent was for someone to say, "You're right, Ron." Right? I didn't want that intent. What I wanted was this awesome vacation, and I went and I got it. Right? And it's because our intent. And so the pact that Kristen was talking about last week, we look at the letter C, clarity of content. Right? So that's what that was for me. Right? And so for this prosperity to happen, right, for our prosperity to come forth through us, to manifest through us, we just need to know what the intent is. We just need to know what our heart's desire is, right? And we do that through knowing our divinity, through going through our divinity, right? And I don't know when I'm going to know the most ever about my divinity, right? But what I know now is back when in my late 20s, I didn't want to live, right? The emotional pain I was going through was so great, I lost the will to live. And maybe as you can tell today, I got a lot of will to live, right? And I did that through spiritual growth, right? I did that from the inside to the outside, not the outside to the inside. I had help, but that's what I did. And so this is our responsibility, is to be who we are, right? To understand what our true heart's desire is, right? So I don't know about you, but for many years when I prayed, "Thy will be done." Today I pray, "Our will be done." Because I know that when I'm in my divineness, my will is God's will, and there's no separation. So I just one quick thing I want to say, because I made this up and I like it. And it's this. Like happiness is a byproduct of living, prosperity is a byproduct of the consciousness of your divinity. Right? So you don't have to go out and find your prosperity. It's within you. And when you begin to release yourself to be your divinity, that's when the prosperity will roll. Right? So let's look at an affirmation here. I am a being of divine power. You say that with me? I am a being of divine power. Now, how many people said that with power? Okay, how many people want to say it with power? Okay, let's do it again. You ready? I am a being of divine power. Cool. Thanks.